Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Main Street Podcast. I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. Hey Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, good morning, Doug.
How you doing, my friend? We're also joined by our friend John Peters. He's already been sitting at the stool. The great guy has bought us around already. How you doing this morning, John?
I'm all right. How you guys? Good morning.
We're doing good. First things first, John, how'd you make out with the well pump?
Ended up buying a deep water pump. We needed a shallow well pump, so went to the hardware store in town, and we can buy an adapter for that jet port, but it's going to be another $60. Or I can pack this one up, send it back, and try to buy the new one. So I haven't decided which way I'm going yet. But my pump now sounds like you know them ball bearings when they start rubbing together, that high pitch squeal. I mean, the pump's still working fine. We still have water in the house, but it's, you can tell it, and it's probably getting very annoying to my neighbors.
Now your pump is outside.
Right, yeah.
It's got a little doghouse or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, you got it.
Yeah, see, Art, when I had your style pump in my house, it sat in the basement because we couldn't have it outside because of freezing. You don't want it out in the freezing cold. Yeah. But now I have the submersible one, the jet pump that's down in the well.
Yeah,
where you have the little plastic PVC pipe that comes out of the ground, and you got to pull it when it goes, and it gets changed outside. It's submersible that way, so you don't hear anything. There's no outside wall or inside, but if that goes, it's a royal. I've been through the inside one like yours twice and two outside ones in 20 years. That's why I can't wait for City Water.
Yeah, this is the same one they put in when they built the house in 82, so it's been around for quite a while. So I can't really complain about it wearing out. It's just the fact that, I have one of those buddies who's a very handy guy, and in exchange for him coming over and doing some work like this on my house and stuff, I usually make a big dinner and stuff for him and his wife, and kind of got manipulated into making a big old dinner yesterday without getting my water pump changed out.
Uh-oh. The plan failed.
And he's the one that told me to end up, here's the one you need. This is exactly what you need. Go ahead and get it. And I got it. And it's not the right one.
A shame. And where did you get it at? Did you order it or –
Yeah, I ordered it off eBay, and it looked identical to the one that's out there. But it, like I said, it didn't have it. It's something about the ports on the front end, the jet ports that.
Yeah, because you have the upper and lower port.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the head on it that converts it or something. So I have to go buy a shallow well one or an adapter to change this one into a shallow well one. So.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't, and I'm not trying to be smart, but, I mean, and this is just me, and I'm the idiot contractor from New Jersey, but I wouldn't think there's many deep wells in Florida. I mean, so I don't know how they would sell a deep well pump in Florida. I mean, it isn't like you can't go down. Like here, I'm down 75 feet.
The water table's so high in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we live close to the river, too, so the water table here is really high. So, that's why there's a shallow well here. That's why this one is a shallow well. But, if you get out away from the river and stuff, you have to get down at least 50 to 60 feet to get to the aquifer. I mean, the deeper you go, the closer you're going to get to the good water that's down there, because there is some, I mean, as much as we complain about the water at Disney and stuff like that, there is some very good water in Florida. Zephyr Hills, you know, Crystal Water, they all actually, their production plants are here. So, but you have to get to that, the aquifer down to those springs. And unfortunately, where we're at, we just get the river water, or basically this water table. It's not very good either, so, but.
No, I didn't think there was enough to go, because even some wells around here are 90 feet, you know, we're between 75 and 90, and I was just shocked. I didn't think they would sell a deep well. I don't think they would need a deep well pump in Florida because of the water table.
So, no, apparently there's quite a few places that do, so.
Well, good luck with that. I know it's scary. The thing I was worried about for you is because of the drought you've been going through in Florida, because Florida's been extremely dry, I was hoping it wasn't your well itself and not the pump.
Oh, no. It's nothing to do with that. Yeah, it's definitely the bearings in the motor. Boy, okay. Can you hear it.
So. Okay, well, that's what I was worried about, because you said it's so dry down there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And speaking about ridiculous, did you see all the runners in Star Wars yesterday? Congratulations to everybody who ran over the weekend, but it's hard enough to run in Florida, let alone run in a Star Wars costume.
Yeah. That's some dedicated people.
Yes. Yeah, and I thought it was pretty cool, though, John. I was thinking about you when I watched some of the videos. I actually watched Disney on the Disney website itself, had like a time, you know, one of those time-lapse videos that they run, and it showed them running through the studios and into Epcot, and it showed all the stormtroopers. For you, it would have been awesome to be there just for all the photo ops.
Yeah. If I ever decided to do one of these runs, that would be the thing. I'd have to stop in everyone and try to get the picture. So.
Yeah, at the very end, when you had your medals on, they had Darth Vader and a bunch of them there, too, which was really, I thought, cool of Disney.
Yeah, it looks like at every mile marker they had a different, or not at every mile marker a character, but at least a photo op with different characters standing on in silhouette and stuff. So
and Dennis, really cool. They better have a Le Cellier steak or something like that, because that's what we're running for. Me and Bubba, me and Dennis ain't running to see Bubba Fett or whatever his name is.
Bubba Fett. Running,
yeah. What's his name?
The other way.
Bubba Fett. Yeah, Bubba Fett. No, but you know what I mean. I know that would motivate you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if there's something to get me up and do it, that would be it. So
me and my wife, I don't know if you guys watch this, but we love that show, The Amazing Race. Do you ever watch that?
I have not.
Do you watch it, John?
Saw several episodes.
Come on, you could say it.
Several different
episodes of it.
Well, yeah, I saw several episodes, but out of a season. Saw several seasons, that's what I was looking for,
okay.
A couple of years ago, but I haven't watched it lately. So.
Yeah, me and Brenda like it. We enjoy the show, and we like watching the couples argue. It's just fun. But the point is, well, how awesome would it be to have the Amazing Race through Walt Disney World?
Oh, yeah. For us Disney geeks, that would be awesome.
I always thought about that. I know they had the one scavenger hunt at the Animal Kingdom, but how cool would it be? And I'm even talking about have it with the park open, so you have to navigate through the lines. Like maybe you got to do a bunch of these rides and then get back to – you have to do the rides without Fast Pass and get back to the – and then go eat somewhere. And how cool would it be to have a bunch of different tasks throughout the parks?
Well, you'd have to put some stipulations on there. No budding, no rude behavior, you know, that type of thing. Otherwise, you'd have these people skipping lines and stuff. So.
Now, is that an ABC show?
No, it's actually CBS. But
then it'll never happen.
But, well, CBS is not owned by Universal, so don't say never. They're not owned by anybody. They're not theme park affiliated right now, so you never know. But don't ever say never. I never thought Disney would own Star Wars either.
True. But I mean, if it was an ABC show, I would think it had a very strong chance of happening. Or you maybe don't even tie it specifically to Walt Disney World. You could do it so you have to, you know, go to Disneyland too, or maybe even some of the overseas parks. And, you know, really have an amazing race. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. But I just thought it would be phenomenal. Like for us, you get a bunch, like you and your wife, like all of us with our wives, and. It goes on. You start off with like 10 couples, and then each day of a 10-day vacation, one couple gets eliminated each day, Because that's how it works. They get elimination on each round. Imagine that. You right. do a 10-day trip, and then you each day they have tasks where you got to race throughout all the parks, and then you got to meet Mickey Mouse on the mat at the end of the day. Whoever's the last one there gets eliminated from doing all their tasks. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be.
Probably getting about the sixth day, and you'd want to. You know what? I'm ready to relax. Let's go ahead and get eliminated at this point.
No, not me. But because the cool thing is they would make you do things that. And the cool thing is Disney has all the stuff you could possibly, like a lot of the challenging stuff you need to do. Like you could do the parasailing, you know, make you jump yep. out of the, you know, make you do that. Make Dennis do Tower of Terror.
Yep.
And what
and
the
– And he's eliminated.
Go ahead, Dan. What?
No, maybe you got to play like a round of golf or something like that. I mean, this you could go – there's many, many things you could do.
Yeah, because I'll have things too. Like you could do something like crazy on the Tower of Terror where as you're dropping, letters are on the wall. And you got to pick them out. If you don't get them all, you got to get back on again to go get the rest of them to figure out a clue. So as you're dropping, they could have letters on the wall and you got to write them all down or memorize them. And, to make the clue to get your card to go on to the next task, if that makes sense to you. You'd have to figure out what that word is spelling. When you got to make the word out of all those letters, and when you get down, one of the cast members is holding your card to go to the next challenge, which I think it would be cool. Disney, if you want me to do it, I will design the show for you at the park. But I think that would be awesome, and I think it would be right up our Disney nut alley because it would, like, I would love to go against the Mickey dudes on something like that or Lou Mangiello and his wife. It would be a lot of fun, but to put you to the task. Like they would give clues out, like, and because that's what they do in the race, too. Like, you're trying to find different places in the cities, and they give these clues out. Well, they could give the same clues out for find a dog with a key.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're not a Disney nut and don't know that Pirates has the dog with the key, you wouldn't be out. You know what I mean? Like things like that, it would be awesome. Maybe right. we need to do this.
Yeah.
Have the WDW Main Street Amazing Race at Walt Disney World one of these years, and we set up the course.
Yeah.
You could
tailor it to however you want it. It would be awesome.
Yeah, but things like that would be perfect. Like, you got to go on the ride and take a picture. And on one of the rides, a dog has a key in its mouth. And you got to take a picture to pass. You know what I'm saying? And report back or whatever. I know I'm babbling on, but I think it would be a great idea. I think it would be fun.
It would be.
And now, did you guys hear this rumor, too, going back to Star Wars, of the resorts that they're talking about building?
Yeah, we're going to cover that in the news, or we can cover it right now if you want.
Yeah, you can read the rest of the article, but I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if that was in the news article because I've read it. But that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe not. I mean, again, they're going to parlay this. I mean, what did they spend, a couple $1 billion on Star Wars? I mean, they're going to parlay that in and make as much money as possible. But in a nutshell, I read the article this morning. It's basically going to be a two-day experience, at least the way the article read. And it's going to cost about $1,000 per person. And it's a completely immersive experience where you stay at the resort and you meet characters and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But now, at least the way they were saying it, it's not going to be like a regular resort where you just book it. It's going to be a, you know, like a special thing. And they specifically said it was going to be 2 days, which I don't know where they get that. But hold on here. Where did I see that?
Yeah, and I wasn't going crazy as the normal Doug negative way. I was going crazy. That's pretty wild. I mean, something like that, if it's $1,000, I could live with it. I'm just surprised it's not $25,000.
Yeah. So, Disney Star Wars Land may be getting more than just two new rides, a restaurant and shops, at least at Walt Disney World. In a recent survey, an outline of an immersive Star Wars resort experience is presented, aimed at taking premium experiences to the next level. The experience would take place in a starship-themed boutique-style hotel, including a pool and an onboard cantina, describing the offering as an all-inclusive two-night immersive resort experience at Walt Disney World. It continues to say it would include the following: the opportunity to experience a two-day story set in the Star Wars universe, be surrounded in a continuous story-driven entertainment experience as it unfolds over the course of a two-night stay. Have personal interactions with Star Wars characters and live performers throughout the starship. Impact and experience the story, or simply observe the action according to personal preference. Then you would engage in the story with programs such as a flight training, ship exploration, lightsaber training, and personalized secret missions, both on the starship and throughout the Star Wars themed planet. Pricing, as noted, as $900 to $1,000 per person, and includes breakfast, lunch, and table service dinner, live entertainment, and access to the Star Wars themed land at Disney's Hollywood Studios. The addition of some type of hotel space has been frequently rumored for Star Wars Land at Walt Disney World, with the park having ample space in the surrounding area to build such a venue. Disney frequently surveys guests about possible concepts, with many becoming reality and others never seeing the light of day. In the hotel space, one such example that did not come to fruition was the Haunted Mansion themed resort rooms. During the development of Tower of Terror in the early 90s, the idea of making part of the hotel usable as guest accommodations was strongly considered, but ultimately was rejected. However, the immersive popularity of Star Wars and the scale of investment in the property would suggest this concept has a very good chance of becoming reality. What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. Real quick before I go to Star Wars, how cool would it be, though, at Tower of Terror, if they would have made them rooms, and all of a sudden, as you're sleeping, straps go around you in the bed, and the bed just drops 13 floors.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
I would not be staying there.
Imagine you're in the morning and you go into the bathroom to take care of business. All of a sudden, the toilet drops 13 stories.
Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a room.
I don't see that happening.
No, but, dude, I mean, I'm shocked it's not more money. I mean, I could even see John's wheels spinning for his 50th birthday for something like this.
Well, you know what?
I would think about it, but it's not something that I don't like being blocked into for 2 days. I mean, when I'm at Disney World, I want to make my own decisions of what I want to do and stuff, and I don't want to be that sounds more like something for a cruise ship or something, honestly, where you're kind of in a limited space and there's really nothing else to do. I mean, I don't think I'd enjoy it that much. It seems too choreographed and storylined for me. Yeah, exactly. I think you're the exception
to the rule with the Star Wars nuts, because it's kind of like a fantasy baseball camp, and you know, a lot of people like that.
Yeah,
you know, so I mean, you're into that. I could see it. And actually, for Disney, and I'll let you go, Dan. I'm sorry, but I don't think the price point is bad. What do you think?
Yeah,
I mean, it ain't crazy.
That's exactly what I was going to say. At first, when I read the story this morning, I said $1,000, and I dismissed it. And not only because it was Star Wars for me personally, but I just said, $1,000, that's ridiculous. But if you think about what it costs to stay a night at one of the, premium resorts or deluxe resorts, thank you. I mean, some of them rooms are $400 or $500. So, I mean, yeah, it's expensive, but it's not something that's, out of reach for most people. Or, you do a split stay, obviously, you do the two nights, you know, somewhere on your vacation, and it's reasonable. Absolutely, Doug. I was going to say that. It's not that outlandish for what you get, and they feed you, too, so you got to take that into account.
Yeah, it's not nothing I see myself doing anytime soon, but yeah, like you said, you get breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you get access to rides. Like, they're selling these Ultimate Fast Passes and those extra nights for $100-some. I mean, I get what you're saying, John, because you like to roam free, and that's why you don't do cruises and all a lot. But for the person that loves these fantasy camps, like golf camps and stuff like that, like I could see myself living in over with Buzz and Woody in the toy box for a couple of days if they made a toy box hotel. I'm all in.
Right, exactly. It's got to be something you're really, really into in order to make it make sense. But, like I said, Disney's going to come up with all kinds of ways and ways we probably haven't even thought of yet. Use the Star Wars brand and theming and recoup some of that, $1.5 billion they spent.
Yeah, and I'm all in on all this stuff as long as it don't affect the normal business hours or normal things. If it don't take away from something that I was entitled to before, I'm okay with it. And even if they took stuff away, if they took the price away, if they kick you out of the park 3 hours early, they should prorate the 3 hours on the ticket. That's all I'm saying. Don't just keep taking from me. I don't mind when you want to do more. Do all you want. Run the parks 24 hours a day, which I think might eventually happen, with the way they're doing all this special stuff. And I'm fine with it, but just don't take stuff away from me that I have always had. I mean, we all get mad at that stuff. If you're paying a certain amount for your cable, and I pay a lot, but all of a sudden if I have the premium package and they raise my bill and take away all my channels, I'm going to be pissed off.
Right. Yeah, that's not a bad. I mean, you said operating 24 hours a day. I think that's very possible in the future. And you think of Las Vegas, that model. I mean, they have gambling, but I mean it's 24/7, 365. And if it makes sense from a monetary perspective, they may do it. I mean, it'd be difficult because of course they need
cleanliness
to clean
and all that. So they have a standard.
Exactly. So that may be difficult. Maybe they rotate, one park is closed every fourth day in order to do that or something. And, it could be done. But, if the money's there and staying open is, brings in more money, they would probably do it.
Yeah. So, I'm not against it. I think it's a great deal. I mean, I don't know if I would ever do any of them. Like I said, on a special occasion, maybe I get to do unlimited rides on the Slinky Dog when it opens or something like that. But I don't think it's bad in Disney World, that price isn't crazy. I thought it was going to be 10 grand.
Right.
For
well,
two
then
nights.
Again, yeah, it's a very, it's kind of like under the rumor category at this point. So by the time it actually opens, if it
could
does
be,
happen,
then.
It may be 2 grand by then.
Yeah, it could be. Right. And did you guys see, I didn't see the article on our site, Dan. Did you see that there's more and more rumors coming out, too, that the gondolas are going to go through?
Yeah, I thought those were confirmed, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter this morning. And, I'm trying to see if it's here in the no, I don't see it here in the stories we're going to read. But, yeah, basically, do you remember what I read? It was specific. It was a Caribbean beach and there were specific resorts of Coronado Springs.
Yeah, it was reported on the Orlando Sentinel, and it says Disney World gondolas would connect parks, hotels, documents confirmed. So the documents are confirmed, and it's the return of the Skyway, sort of. Walt Disney World is working on a gondola lift system that would connect some of its theme parks and hotels. Documents obtained by the Orlando Sentinel from the Disney-controlled Reddy Creek Improvement District confirms the resort has been planning the project, which has been rumored for 9 months. Reddy Creek notes refers to 6 stations with 3 lines linking Disney Hollywood Studios, Epcot, Caribbean Beach Resort, and the lakeside area between Pop Century and the Art of Animation Resort. They're calling it, I think they said it, it's Project Italy or something like that, they're calling it. So
that's right. That's great. It's awesome, and can't wait for it to be built.
No, I think it'll be awesome. I mean, I didn't know. They said the reason the original Skyway was taken down is because a gentleman got plummeted to it. He got killed from falling off the original one. Did you hear about that, John?
He had to work pretty hard at that. No, I was going to say he had to work pretty hard at that because they had kind of railings on it. I mean, it wasn't like they were totally wide open, so he had to have been looking to try to do something like that, you know what I'm saying? Or leaning out in a precarious manner to begin with because they weren't that wide open. So.
I know. Yeah, almost think it would be a kid that would fall,
It said years ago, Disney Skyway ride connected the Magic Kingdom, Fantasyland, and Tomorrowland. It closed in 1999, a few months after a worker was swept from the loading platform by moving gondola.
A worker.
Yeah, and plunged to his death. It wasn't a child or anything. But what they're saying is in the whole article that these new ones will be totally enclosed. There's going to be no way to get out. And they said it's actually more inexpensive than building more roadways and doing more track system rails or anything like that. But I'm excited about it because I would love a view from up there. Because when I tell people about that ride, the original ones in the park, they look at me like I'm nuts.
Right.
And I am nuts, but for other reasons.
Right. No, they existed.
Yeah. As I remember in 97, our first year, going, on that and going across and getting off. And I miss them. I enjoyed that view of the Magic Kingdoms, looking down on all the buildings with me being a construction geek. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea, and I think it kind of fits in with the kind of, especially Epcot, kind of with that alternative mass transit type system, in the front with Future World, you have the monorail going through, and in the back you would have kind of an international type of travel. So it's kind of cool. So it's a really good idea.
How cool would it be if the gondolas actually came right into the back of Italy?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
What did they say? Somewhere between Africa and Germany was what they were, or not Africa, but the African outpost in Germany is where they were talking about, weren't they?
I think so, yes. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. The article here doesn't exactly say where they're going to land that I can read, but I think it would be really cool if it came in Italy. But anywhere in the world, if it comes in the World Showcase, I'm waiting and I'm in. Because I think that would be phenomenal to see the views from over there.
Right. And, plus once they get the initial tracks, you said there would be three drop-off points or something like that. I mean, it easily could be expanded to, other areas or other parks. So, who knows? 20 years down the road, the whole place could be connected by gondola.
Yeah, the article also says it can handle between 300 and 1,000 guests per hour or something like that.
It would certainly take some stress off the bus system, and we know it needs to.
I wonder if this is going to be an extra charge, though.
imagine what a park ticket's going to cost when all this stuff comes on board.
You have to take out a second, third, and fourth mortgage.
Yep.
And then you guys will be living here with annual passes by that time. So.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, imagine what those are going to cost.
From your lips to the big guy's ears.
All right, then.
Yeah, we're planning on that.
You want me to go forward with the news here, Doug?
Not quite yet. I got another idea. Well, that'll be in this news story. I was just making sure all the news articles were in. The other thing is head over and vote on our website. It's all in WDW, please, for our restaurant draft. Bob is kind of kicking our butts at this point, but I still believe we can come back from this, kind of like Rose and Crown did. I got faith. Go over to our website and vote, guys.
Yeah, I think if you add me, you, and Dennis all together, maybe we're doing okay as opposed to Bob, but oh well.
Yeah, we're hanging in there. I mean, I'm shocked that Bob's lead as much as he is. I think he might have stuffed the ballot, but we all won because we got to talk about food, right, guys?
Exactly. It was a fun show, and, we had fun teasing each other and drafting other hosts' favorite restaurants and such. It was
yeah. Right now, Bob has 39% of the vote. I'm in second with 22% of the vote. John's in third, 19, and Dennis, you have 18. So the three of us, we're more than 50%. So the three of us kicked his butt.
Okay. All right. There we go.
We won. Yeah, we won.
That's the way to look at it.
So, get into the rest of the news. Oh, the other thing. No. Before we get into the news, how bad was the V12, Dan?
It wasn't too bad. I ended up splitting it with my son-in-law. I couldn't. Not that I couldn't.
It's a big
beer. I
didn't
want to drink it. Yeah, it was. I don't know, a pint plus.
Yeah.
And it had one of those, you couldn't see it in the picture I sent you guys, but it had one of those cork tops with the wire twist on it. But, yeah, it was interesting. I was at the same market I go to every week, and I've been looking the last couple of weeks, and I went over to the section where they have, the larger bottles. And as soon as I saw that red and blue label, the victory label, I was I was happy. I couldn't believe it was there. And sure enough, it was. And the V12 and John, do you remember what type of beer it was? I don't have the bottle here.
Quadruple. Belgian style quadruple, wasn't it?
Belgian quad, I think it was called. Yeah. And I have no idea what does that mean, John? The quad is that there's four types of hops in it or something? Or do you know what that actually means?
I think it's something to do with the fermentation and how long it's fermented, and that's why you're getting your higher alcoholic content. But as for specifics, I'm sorry.
No.
I know what I like. I know taste and stuff, but I'm not real into
I didn't mean to put you on the spot because I literally have no idea. I thought maybe you might know, but it was a Belgian style beer. Doug, to answer your question, I mean, yeah, it was good. It was, you know, certainly not something you're going to drink all the time or multiples of them. I mean, it's, you know, at 12%, it's, you know, quite strong. But no, it was enjoyable. I did move on to something else after that, but I'm glad I found it and gave it a shot anyways.
Yeah, well, that's the big daddy of all theirs. And just a little side note, I bet you Pat would have known what was in that beer, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry, John.
No, but anyway, when I seen that, dude, I'm at work yesterday, and my phone is blowing up. I'm like, what are these girls chatting about over here? I mean, and when I seen the V12, I originally thought it was Bob who found it. I thought it was maybe John, because I couldn't read it while I was working. The last person I expected to bring home the Big Daddy V12 was you, Dan. I'm shocked that of all the Victory beers, and it's like I said, that's the most potent one. I mean, 12% alcohol. You don't want to operate any heavy, even light machinery drinking that stuff. Right.
I mean, you're bordering on actual
whiskey,
you know, alcohol. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, Doug, did you see which one I found? I found the Headwaters Victory Headwater Ale down here. Ale. So I had a Victory yesterday too. So.
And how did you guys like that? How did you like that?
Yeah, it was really good. It was one of you would have liked this one. It was a lot lighter. Had a nice malt taste to it. Not very bitter at all. So yeah, it was quite tasty. So.
Yeah, I had a couple Hellises yesterday. I had two Hellises and two Longboards yesterday, so I had a nice day.
Yeah.
We I'm lying. The day before I had the Longboards. Yesterday I had two Yinglings and two Hellises because we went out to dinner last night at a place called the Crab Trap, and I can't even speak now. I'm speaking English. We took my aunt and my uncle out. It was my uncle's 70th. My uncle just turned 70. This year, and we promised them dinner. My aunt turned 65 last year, but she had heart surgery, so we had to put the meal off, and we finally got the two of them out. It was very nice. We went to this local establishment called the Crab Trap down the shore. The food was out of this world. Do you guys like monkfish? Have you ever had monkfish?
I have. It's a really white fish, or am I mistaken?
Yeah, and it tastes a lot like lobster. They used to call it the poor man's lobster. Now it's as much a pound for that as it is lobster.
Is that the real ugly fish that if you see what the fish look like, you wouldn't eat it almost?
Yeah, he's ugly as hell. They call it wolf fish, too. And
Yeah.
But it tastes so good. I throw it on the grill every once in a while, like, because it's not always available. But they did this monkfish in a pasta with this tomato basil and with shrimp and scallops. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal, out of this world. My wife had this honey plank salmon. That was awesome. My aunt and uncle had flounder and crab cakes, and we had these lobster bites and crab cake bites. It was a phenomenal meal. They had Coors Light and Bud Light on the menu, but I decided to go with Yinling, so you guys wouldn't pick on me. So I had a couple Yinglings yesterday. No, but they were very good. I actually enjoy a Yingling. I enjoy that.
The lesser of three evils.
Yeah, I mean, my uncle had a couple Coors Lights I was proud of, but I went with the Yingling, but the meal was phenomenal. But have you ever had monkfish, John?
I think so years ago, but I haven't made it. I don't think that's something that we have a lot down here. I think it's more of a northern fish, isn't it? So,
yeah, it's seasonal, too. It's kind of seasonal. But if you ever get a chance, it's really awesome. It was weird because I was talking about it on the way down, because we were talking about different fish on the way to a seafood restaurant, and my aunt and uncle have never even heard of it. So it was weird that we get down there and it's on the special.
Yeah.
So cool. It was really good. But Dan, what did the V12 taste like? Did it have the similarities to the Le Fin de Mont, or was it a little?
I will say this: I liked it better than the Le Fin de Mont. Actually, okay. It wasn't quite. It didn't have quite
that
as
backbite.
Much bite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's hard to describe. Like, you know, because the alcohol content is so. I had a hard time kind of picking out, you know, the hops and different flavors of the beer. I don't know. I mean, you know, again, it was, for what it was very good, but it isn't something I would go to time and time again. Maybe I would, you know, if you were celebrating something, you'd have a glass of that or something. And like I said, move on to something else. And it is a specialty beer because I don't think, and I could be wrong, I don't think they sell it in six packs. I think they only sell it in the larger bottles. Yeah, I could be wrong, but yeah, my guess is they just sell it like that.
And at the restaurant, and at the restaurant, they had it on tap. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sounds like something that would be great to sit by the fireplace on a chilly evening and just kind of take about an hour to sip your way through it.
You don't want to be chugging that like you would a regular beer, that's for sure.
No, and the Golden Monkey is a little less. That's 9.5% by alcohol, which that's very – I think you'd like that too, Den, because that taste, that's in the sand. John will agree with me. That's – you know, that's a very close cousin to the flavor of what Le Fin de Mon is. They're very close.
Yeah.
They both have some of those similar characteristics. But I can taste the alcohol more in the Le Fin de Mon than I can in that Golden Monkey. I had the Golden Monkey, and I couldn't even really tell that it – I had no idea that it was that stout of a beer, you know, that high in alcoholic content until I looked at it and saw it was 9.5.
Yeah.
Two or three of those, that'd sneak up on you. So.
Yeah. Because I really like the Golden Monkey a lot more than the Le Fin. And what I liked about the Monkey is the Monkey don't kick you in the head on the way out the door. I mean, that's where it don't have that. See, what gets me with the Le Fin is that back bite. That last little bite at the end is not – don't agree with me the way that – the Golden Monkey's a lot smoother to me. Do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, I would say that. I like that on the Le Fin, but you don't. So, I mean, that's the probably one of the differences. Mm-hmm. But, it is smoother and doesn't have that kind of yeasty aftertaste that the a lot of the Unibrow beers do. So.
Well, the good news is – I'm sorry, John.
No, I was just going to say, Doug, I'm just glad I found something by Victory. I was feeling left out. You guys talking about it all the time. And I know, but you did say they were going to do something up in New England or Boston area, and I don't know if this is it or there's something else.
No. There's from what I heard, is there's a lager coming up. They're going to have a launch of a lager up there, which we'll love. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I was just going to say to you. I'm glad you found something because that means they are in the area. You just got to find where it's at.
Right. Maybe I'll even give a call down there or something and see if I can find out a distributor or where they might have their product, you know, locally. Because you're right, it may be here. I'm just not going to the right store.
Yeah, because I know you'll walk in, but I'm closer to it than you guys. And my I got two liquor stores literally within, one's a mile and the other one's like a mile and a quarter. I mean, going two different ways. And both of them have, 8 or 10 options in it, and both of them carry a couple different. And a couple of them have different that are already chilled, if you follow me. It's in the freezer because I don't know about you guys. I don't keep beer around the house long. I don't drink a ton of beer. So when I go to liquor store, I like my beer cold. I don't like to grab it warm and then wait for it in the fridge. Usually when I'm buying it's when I want to drink it.
Right.
You know, so.
Makes sense.
So I like that they have my Hellas. It's chilled. It's in the cooler and it's waiting for me. And I've been really enjoying that longboard too, John. So.
Good deal. If you get a chance, if you see the other Kona beers, give them a try too if you can. You'll probably like all of them. So
yeah, I'm hoping, Danny, you do find more now because you'll definitely like the Hellas, and you'll definitely like John liked that one you just had was really good too.
You really enjoyed
that, and I said, me and Brenda like that devil, the wolf devil, but we're not allowed to have
the hop
it.
Devil.
The hop devil. We're not allowed to have that because of the devil's in the name.
Well, but I'm pretty impressed, though. I mean, you know, I thought you stumbled upon a little, you know, local microbrewery, but the fact that they their reach goes all the way to Florida and, you know, up here in New England, you know, that's the whole East Coast. So, I mean, this is a pretty big company, and you read off all the beer that they have, and you didn't even read off everything. I mean, they have quite a vast array of different beers and different style beer. So, I mean, they're a pretty big brewery.
Yeah, and they have a bunch of specialty blends throughout the year, too. Like, they'll only come out for certain runs. John was telling us about when he got me to try the Summer Love.
Yep.
That's not a year. It don't run all the time. That has different runs. And what was fun about it, what was cool that I learned was And when we ate at the restaurant, which was absolutely phenomenal. And believe me, guys, they're not paying for any of this right now. This is just our honest opinions. We like Victory. And when I ate at that restaurant, it was one of the best experiences I had in my life. It kind of reminded me, the employees reminded me of, like, the Disney different. Like, they were into the product. They enjoyed it. It was a nice experience. We haven't had that in a while. And so was this place last night. It was very good. But the point I was making is he was telling me about the different blend of last year's Summer Love to this one.
Right.
And the way he was talking about it, I'd have probably liked last year's better than this year's. But to him, he liked this year's better than last. But it was right. Cool to hear him talk. He was waxing poetically like it was about his dream girl. Telling me about the difference of the two beers. It was cracking me up. I mean, I was like smiling like, man, you know a lot about this beer, brother.
Now, Doug, did you get the sense that they tweaked the recipe from year to year, or was it the same recipe and it just came out different? You know what I'm saying?
The way he was talking about it, it's kind of the same, but the way it was brewed, because even the ingredients from year to year have more stronger or less stronger flavors, even though it's the same ingredients, it'll give a different flavor. Am I right about that, John?
Yeah. I mean, depending on what hops they're using and stuff like that, and depending where they're buying their hops from and just the harvest of hops that year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they could be all kinds of minute differences just using the same product. So.
Yeah, he was just telling me the taste flavors were this and that. And I'm like, is my cheeseburger ready?
Right.
I like my Hellas. Give me my cheeseburger. And damn, I want those fries. But sorry about that. But I wanted to get into that because you guys texted for an – that was the longest text chain I've ever been involved with.
Bob at the Irish pub at 9:30, 10 o'clock last morning.
Yeah, he started the whole thing. Yeah. Bob was out for an early lunch or whatever you – brunch, I guess you'd call it, and it just took off from there. But
That's our webmaster. It's all in WDW doing his bar hunt for the next article. So continue on with the news then. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Nope, that's fine. We can always have an interruption for beer talk. Nothing wrong with that.
We are in a pub.
Yep. Dapper Days special offerings at Magic Kingdom. Dapper Days. Yeah, Common mentioned these the other day, and I think I've mentioned them on the show before. But Dapper Day is returning to Walt Disney World this spring with the unofficial event taking place April 29th through to April 30th. Although not an official Disney-organized event, the Magic Kingdom will be offering some specials for guests visiting during the Dapper Days. Dapper Day food, a picnic in the park, will take place on Saturday afternoon, April 29th, priced at $14.99 for adults and $9.99 for ages 9 and younger.
Hold on one sec, then. This is awesome. They gave us this news a week before it actually happened, so we're doing good here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that works out.
Yeah, you guys can go next Saturday, and we're helping you out, actually.
We're not telling you what you missed. Yeah.
The day before.
Special boxed picnics will be available for purchase at Tomorrowland Terrace from 11 to 2:30 p.m., including a reserved picnic spot in the Main Street Plaza Gardens. Each lunch comes with house-made chips. Doug will throw them away. Fruit cup. Mini Dapper Rose, cupcake, regular fountain beverage, and a choice of either fried chicken, chicken Caesar salad, Greek salad wrap, or a barbecue pulled pork sandwich. Kids' meals are also available with a side of house-made chips, go-go squeeze, mini Dapper Rose, cupcake, kids' fountain beverage, and choice of either chicken strips, Uncrustables, peanut butter, and jelly sandwich. Special cupcakes will also be on sale during the event. Hats off to spring is a vanilla cupcake with a vanilla buttercream or a chocolate cupcake with a mocha buttercream. Each cupcake is topped with a sugar cookie sandwich filled with raspberry jam and coated in white chocolate. The Dapper Quartet, four small cupcakes served together, is two vanilla and two chocolate cupcakes with a vanilla buttercream and fondant bow ties with colors matching the Dapper Dans on Main Street, USA. Dapper Day merchandise, corsages, and rose wands from Disney Floral and Gifts will be available for purchase on Main Street, USA, up to Uptown Jewelers. Finally, dresses from the dress shop on Cherry Tree Lane at Disney Springs will be sold in the Emporium on Main Street, USA. Yeah, so anyways, if you're going to be down there during this weekend, or Dapper Days sounds like something that appeals to you, you can totally ignore it, or you can, you know, go for the cupcakes and all that good stuff and enjoy a day at the Magic Kingdom.
I like how it says, but I don't know how this is an unofficial event.
Right.
That's taking place for 2 days. I don't get it. I don't need to get it, but I just find that weird that it says it's unofficial. How could it be unofficial?
Well, the Dapper Days, as I remember them, and John, you may have experienced this at your many visits to the Magic, but they're days that guests just kind of dress up like the old time. You remember, Doug, we did a couple stories on this. The girls wear the spring dresses and the like bonnets, and the guys wear the old
straw hats.
Not so much straw hats, but maybe like the 50s, not the 60s, but 40s and 50s, I'd say. And again, the reason it's not something that Disney puts on or cast members do. It's something that the guests just do on their own. But there's hundreds of them that go to the park, and you can see them walking with like a parasol, and you'd swear, you know, they're from 40, 50 years ago, the people. And I think that's what they mean. It's just something that Disney's acknowledging it, obviously, by offering food items that are specific to this.
And selling the dresses for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's their only, official acknowledgement of it. But like I said, it's usually something that the guests partake in on their own.
If I can find the picture, I was walking around Epcot last year in early evening, so the two ladies that I got the picture with had spent their entire day at Magic Kingdom and then came over there. There was a couple of nice young ladies who were dressed up to the nines with the outfit on, and I had maybe had one or two Le Fin de Mon, so maybe my normal reserved
you were a little more friendly
there,
than
so.
Normal, huh, Doug?
I didn't have a whole lot of inhibition at that time, so I asked them to take a picture with them, and so they were more than happy to get a picture taken with me. My wife wasn't there at the time either.
Now, did you take your hat off and bow over to them and say, "Fine young ladies, may I have a picture with you?" And did you cordially invite them?
I said something like that. I said, "Excuse me, young ladies, you look fantastic. Would you mind if I got a picture with you?" So
we got to hold this. We got to hold this podcast for ransom for John. A little bit of
she
bribery.
Saw the picture. No worries, she saw it.
Yeah, we didn't tell her what a silver tongued devil you were.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So, anyways, let's see. Specialty beverages coming to the Satali Canteen and Pongu Pongu in Pandora, the World of Avatar. No new theme park land is complete without its specialty beverages, and Pandora, the World of Avatar, will have its share of creatively inspired drinks. At the Satali Canteen and the Pandorian Sunrise is the non-alcoholic mix of tropical juices blended with Powerade melon, available in the souvenir Satali Canteen flute flask. Wow, tongue twister.
You say Disney that five times fast.
Yeah, I can't even say it once. Disney managed to find a winery called Banshee from Napa Valley. A winery, okay. Which is, of course, very appropriate for the land, as guests will be riding a Banshee on the land's signature attraction. A Banshee Chardonnay and Banshee Pinot Noir.
Yeah, Pinot Noir.
Are on the wine menu by the glass, also with a Dreamwalker Sangria with a splash of blue Carugio. Carugio? I don't know.
Caraca.
That works for me. At the Pongu Pongu walk-up window, the Night Blossom frozen drink is a non-alcoholic mixture of limeade with apple and dessert pear flavors topped with passion fruit boba balls, available in a souvenir Pongu Pongu mug with a glow cube. Look pretty cool. These look pretty cool.
Yeah, I know Carmen and them will be getting a shot of rum in these Pongu Pongus to get through it.
I don't know if you guys are following along or not, but they have a picture of these two drinks.
They look awesome.
But what does that remind you? It looks like caviar on top of the drinks to me.
It does, don't it?
Some weird bobo balls. Or
yeah,
the,
I don't know
that
what
whole,
that's all about.
I don't want that in my drink. I don't need it. I don't want it. So.
Yeah, we'll put your bogo balls on Le Fin de Mont.
Yeah, I'd be skipping it.
Coming up next.
I don't need – tapioca bubbles in my drink.
Coming up next is where you'll find Carmen and Judith.
Yeah, yeah. The Marrero frozen margarita is another frozen drink with Zaza Camarillo, I don't know, some kind of tequila with strawberry and blood orange flavor topped with strawberry boba balls, also available in a souvenir mug. So, yeah,
we'll get a review from Judith and Carmen about these margaritas. I guarantee Carmen will have one of these margaritas.
Yep, I can.
I might get the frozen margarita, but I'm going to tell them to leave the balls off.
Okay.
Could you please castrate that drink for me?
I don't need that. Please. Please.
I'll take it castrated. Thank you.
Let's see here. The backstory and theme of Copper Creek Villas at Disney's Wilderness Lodge Resort. The newest Disney Vacation Club property, Copper Creek Villas at Disney's Wilderness Lodge, opens on July 17th, bringing a third area to the resort. Disney's Wilderness Lodge itself opened in 1984, Boulder Ridge Villas at Disney's Wilderness Lodge. Disney Vacation Club opened in 2000, and now to be joined by Copper Creek Villas and Cabins at Disney's Wilderness Lodge. Each has its own backstory, expanding on the original Transcontinental Railroad-themed timeline. Boulder Ridge is set in the late 1800s, Wilderness Lodge the early 1900s, and Copper Creek today. And there's a video you can go online and see this if you're interested in the backstory, which a lot of the Disney backstories are pretty interesting. You wonder why there's certain artifacts in the lobby or different, mascots sometimes or different things. And although they're not real, they certainly add to the ambiance of the resort if you understand why this is like that or, stuff like that.
No, it's really cool. There's like spikes for decoration. I knew the new bungalows or whatever on the water, they're supposed to have wraparound screen porches, which that would be really cool. If you have, a big family out to sit out there on the lake, watch the water pageant. I think that would be awesome. I know the price lines will never fit in my budget unless I hit the lottery, but they do look beautiful.
Absolutely.
So, quick, then I want to say also the Animal Kingdom was 18 years old yesterday, wasn't it? Earth Day.
That's hard to believe. 18 years.
Can you believe that? I still have the book. It's sitting here when it opened.
Yeah, I remember we were down there the year it opened, and we missed it by like just a couple of weeks from it opening, and we were down there for our annual spring vacation, and we didn't get to see it till the year after in 99 instead of 98. But I can't believe that was 18 years ago, though.
Yeah.
Well, 98, that would make it 19.
No, it opened in 99 then. Today, it's 18 years old. Okay. And it opened in 99.
Pretty sure it's 98, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 98 myself.
I know, it was because I had pens.
All right, well, I'm sorry, then. The article here is saying 98, 99.
Does it say 99?
Yeah, I'm almost positive, but you continue reading and I'll find it. How's that sound? But happy birthday either way, Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
It was their birthday regardless, so.
Yes.
Splash Mountain closing for near 3-month refurbishment later this year. Oh, boy. Splash Mountain at the Magic Kingdom is scheduled for a lengthy refurbishment later this summer. The refurbishment is planned to begin on August 28th through November 16th. Reopening to guests on November 17th. Refurbishments of Splash Mountain have typically taken place beginning in January, so this late summer closure is unusual. The last major refurbishment took place in 2014. Boy, that stinks for anybody that has summer trips scheduled or even fall trips. This is going to impact.
We got a trip in June, so I'm going to ride it at least 3 or 4 times then, because when we go back in September, I won't be able to hit it at all. So I got to counterbalance it, So.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of people's favorite attractions. So that's always when one of those go down, people, get bent out of shape.
Yeah, especially being down during the summer month. I mean, that's insane. It usually goes down in February, January, February for refurbishment, because I go down that time of year a lot, and when it's off, I get it, because cold night, I'm not in the mood to go on there all the time anyway. I do miss it, and like I've said a million times, when it's cold, you really don't get that wet. But
right.
I do understand it more being down then than summertime. But, yeah, you guys are right. It was 1998. It's 19 years old.
Okay.
I confused the 19 years with 99. So when I wrote back and read the article.
Twice in 2 days I got you there, pal.
Yeah, well, sorry. But anyway, she's 19 years old. At least I brought up wishing her happy birthday. You guys could care less.
All right. You
just use and abuse her for the alcohol, the golden monkey.
Wow. Oh, what do we got here? I lost my page. There we go. Fittings and fairings, clothes and notions at Disney's Yacht Club closed for lengthy refurbishment. That's the store over there at the Yacht Club, which I kind of like that store. It's down that long hallway at the end, if you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Fittings and fairings, clothes and notions at Disney's Yacht Club Resort is now closed as part of a major refurbishment. The resort's gift shop closed on April 17th, is expected to open on July 14th. During the closure, a temporary location has been set up in the lobby near the Compass Lounge, operating from 6 a.m. to midnight daily. Items on sale include gifts, snacks, and beverages. Fittings and fairings will reopen as a new marketplace similar to the offering at the Beach Club, offering quick service food along with merchandise. That's interesting. I don't know if it, well, what you guys think, but the Yacht Club always just seems so much more stuffy than the Beach Club. I'd much rather be at the Beach Club, but with this change at the store, I think that's going to help.
Every time I go through the Yacht Club, I always find myself calling my wife Love, and I don't know why. So I get it, Dan. It's just something kicks into me. My posture all of a sudden gets better. I walk more upright. I have my nose a little more in the air, and I feel and I fit in that way. But no, you're right, Dan. It does. It's in our head. It's me and you. It has nothing to do with the reserve because everybody in there treats you great. Every time I've eaten in there, they've been phenomenal to me. It's in our own little head. But I don't find the need why it needs another quick serve when I liked it for the merchandise in there.
Yeah,
the food.
I agree with you. It wasn't unique. I mean, the looks of it, I think that, as I recall, they had a boat and it has Mickey and Donald in it or something. But, it has all the same stuff as you'd find in any of the resort stores.
But it had a little bit more adult clothing and stuff like that, I can remember the last time I was in. There was a little bit of stuff for me, which I'm trying to be smart, but there's not enough places on property to have adult male normal clothing. That isn't sparse with Mickey and Minnie all over it, if that makes sense to you. It was nice to see little different kind of clothing you could find in there. That's all I'm saying.
And like you said, you could get your Thurston Howell III captain's hat, literally, if you go in there. And you're right. They had pullovers and sweatshirts and khakis and different men's clothing. You're right, Doug, in that section. Of course, that'll all go away now and you'll be able to get a wrap or something now, and then they're going to put that, like over at the Beach Club where you can get the sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, I hear you.
My guess is, probably a lot of that clothing will go away because they're going to keep the sundries and the alcohol and, the suntan lotion and, all the stuff you can get in the store. Probably what will get sacrificed will be just the thing that you like about the current store.
it's in the background. It sounds like a gun's going off, John. Is something going
it
on
is.
Down?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is a Disney podcast. We apologize. John's at the hunting range right now.
I told you, I live out in the woods, and there's a shooting range at the end of our street. And neighbor is down there shooting one of his guns. So
we'll pretend you're at the shooting gallery over at the Frontier Land. How's that sound?
Yeah, the thing is, I always tell my wife we'd never really know if somebody got shot around here because he shoots that gun so much that it's
you kind of just ignore
the cops,
right?
The cops would come by and go, what time did you hear gunshots? All day long. 11:15.
I thought I was going insane.
I can't do much about that one. So
I am regardless of that. That's okay. But I had to bring it up before somebody's thinking, what the heck is going on there? What sound effects did Doug put on this week's show?
We're at the shooting arcade in Frontierland.
You go. How do you do?
Next story. New Star Tours destination confirmed as the planet of Crait.
We don't know where the heck that is, do we, Dan?
Nope, I do not. Disney has confirmed that the next new Star Wars, The Adventure Continue destination, will be the planet of Crait. Based on the story elements from the upcoming Star Wars, The Last Jedi movie, the new destinations will debut at Disney's Hollywood Studios and Disneyland in December 2017. And there's a trailer out for the new official teaser. Doug, you've seen that, I assume. You see all of these generally.
Absolutely. It's pretty cool. I know John has seen it. You've seen the teaser, haven't you? The Last Jedi.
No, I don't think I have, but the if it's the island or the world that Luke is supposed to be at the end of A New Hope, it's going to be or not New Hope, but the Force Awakens, where the next movie is supposed to take place at. It looks like it's filmed in Northern Ireland. You know, the rocks that kind of stick out of the green pastures, cliffy seaside. Classic, like, Northern Ireland shore area. That's kind of where that part of the – I believe that's where that's filmed at. So that's probably what the new planet's going to look like. So,
nah, it looks really cool. Like, all the effects and everything are phenomenal. That's the reason why I'm looking forward to the new Star Wars land. I'm just looking forward to seeing what they do with it. Aren't you, Dan?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we say it a million times, but I'll say it again. Not our favorite thing, but – of course, anything new that's coming, you know, even Star Tours, an alternate ending or something, is I will enjoy, even if I don't really understand it or care. It'll still be something new.
No, absolutely. I mean, I can't wait. I'll watch this one. I still haven't watched the last Star Wars, but I'm looking forward to doing I'll do a marathon when the new one comes out. How's that sound, guys?
There you go.
You're fine.
Speaking of movies, I finally watched Doctor Strange last night.
How'd you like it?
What did you think?
It was just right.
Yeah. About what I thought, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kept my interest, and, you know, my wife liked it too, but, you know, it was not my favorite.
The effects were awesome.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it was just all right. But I know you mentioned, a month or so ago you had seen it, Doug, and John, you saw it as well.
Yeah, I kept thinking of something like Pink Floyd's The Wall or something like that. Kind of like, I guess this would be more enjoyable if I was on LSD or something. I mean, it was hard. Some of it was really, the graphics and the special effects were so intimidating. It was almost overwhelming, you know. So.
Right.
Yeah, when you had the surround sound going, though, it was pretty phenomenal, the whole series when they would go off. You were like, I was sitting in my room like, holy moly, this is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you're right. I'll bet you it was a lot better in the theater. I can imagine those effects and the buildings turning on their sides and all that stuff was, I'm sure, in the theater it looked even better than, you know, just seeing it at home.
In my office, I have the 55-inch TV with the surround sound in this room, and the door closes, you shut in, you turn the light out, and literally we have our own little theater here, and, dude, the effects are phenomenal for that. There really was. That's where I seen it here on this TV. But in this room and with the surround sound and all I have, you really feel like you're in the theater. My wife gets aggravated. She's been aggravated since the first Tombstone. Do you remember Tombstone? Because I have a really good surround system. At the beginning when the horses come on, the horses are running as the movie starts. And I'll crank the surround up. And you hear those horses. And when it starts to whine and cry with the state, you really feel like you're going to get ran over in this room with the sound effects. And she gets so mad at me when I do that. But women don't get the whole music deal of it.
Well, that's the fun of having it, right? You know, you can't crank it up and be totally immersed in it.
Absolutely. Or watching the football game with the surround on, you hear the guy in the 700 level screaming the blank bomb.
Right.
He wouldn't normally get to hear without it. But again, with movies here, I don't know if you guys also seen that the new Avatar release dates have been set. Have you seen
I was just gonna bring that up, as I was gonna say my third movie related thing while we read this story. You want to go ahead and read them, Doug, since you brought it up? And then
I got it right in front of me. You know, James Cameron and Fox have set the release dates for the four Avatar sequels starting on December 18th, 2020 for Avatar 2. Avatar 3 will open December 17th, 2021, followed by 3 year, followed by a three-year break for Avatar 4, set on December 20th, 2024. And Avatar 5 will open on December 19th, 2025. Holy moly, I mean, that's a lot to think about. Like, I might not even, you know, I can't guarantee any I'm going to see all these.
I'll be collecting Social Security by the time the fifth movie comes out. I mean, I thought, when I read those dates, Doug, I kind of got mad. I'm like, you know what I thought of? I thought of Be Our Guest. You know how you say they're pretentious and stuck up over there? I'm like, James Cameron. Get over yourself. Uh-huh. We've been hearing since they announced it was going to be Avatar Land at Animal Kingdom. We've been hearing they're working on the movies. They're getting there. You know, they're starting to, they're going to film them in a bunch. It's cheaper to do them all. Are you kidding me? 2020 before we see the second one. You know what? I don't care anymore. I'll enjoy Walt Disney World. I'll enjoy the attractions. But you know what? I will not go to see one of these movies. No movie is worth waiting this long for. I don't care.
There wasn't enough of a compelling story in the first one there was no cliffhanger. I mean, to leave you anticipating the next movie. At the time they filmed part one, I don't think they were anticipating making a part two. So it's kind of like they're really, really kind of putting themselves out there. That first one the second one better do well.
It's going to be short one view, me, because I'm not going to see it. And I always use this as a litmus test for a movie. I mean, most movies you can name the feature character, what his or her name was in the movie. John, can you tell me what the lead character in Avatar, what her or his name is in the movie?
I remember Sigourney Weaver was in it. Right. That's about it. So.
And all I know is okay, I know Zoe Saldana was in it, but that's all I know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be lucky if Sigourney Weaver is even alive by the time the fifth movie comes out. And I don't know. This just rubbed me the wrong way. I could care less. I will not go to see him.
No, and I you're ranting today, guys. I'm the calm one. But anyway, I agree with you, Dan, as far as I cannot believe that it's taking this many years for a sequel to come out. It's like insane. And three more years? I mean, I could even see next year maybe. But when all this was going on with the park and Pandora Land, and I'm excited because, you know, everybody knows I'm an Animal Kingdom lover. I can't wait for it. I've been one of their biggest supporters. I kind of thought that the second movie would almost be released with the park, the expansion. Exactly. I never thought in a million years it would be three more years. I mean, well, holy moly.
But you know what? This goes back to Doug, and you may not remember this, but I do remember it now that I'm thinking about this. When Disney got, they bought or whatever, or they got together with James Cameron. They said that he was kind of a megalomaniac and he did things differently. And again, that's why I say that I think he's being pretentious because, I don't know. I just think he's purposely putting it off just because he can or he wants to. Well, I mean, if they can pump out these Star Wars movies every year or even less than a year, and I got to believe they're every bit as complicated as anything they're going to do in Avatar, they could do it sooner.
Let me put it in this perspective, and I'll even climb on board and rant a little more about it. They have built Pandora Land. They have built They're going to have Pandora Land built, Star Wars Land built, and Toy Story Land open, and Star Wars Land on two coasts before the second movie has been made. That's insane.
Yeah.
And then also going to have multiple hotels built. I mean, you're going to have a gondola running almost before this probably happens. That's the crazy part. It's like, how the heck long does it take to make a movie?
Right. But, I mean, am I wrong? Weren't you guys under the impression that, like, they've been filming all this time since they announced it? And
I thought they were going to have an opening with the opening of Pandora Land myself. That's what I assumed for the past couple years. I thought even if maybe within a year, I thought they both opened within the same year. Never thought. When I seen 220, I thought I read the article wrong. Like, why the hell even release it? Who gives a – by 220, you know what I mean? Like, what do I – I mean, John, are you holding your breath for 2025? Like, I don't even know where I'm going to be or what I'm doing in 2025.
And, yeah, I mean – I've got my Star Wars movies coming out and Star Wars Land opening in 2019. So by the time they get around to Avatar, I'm not really going to give a
yeah, I mean, hopefully it's the greatest thing ever because I like Disney. But the point is, it's why you got 3 years before the next one, let alone the next four. How can I get? I mean, what are they going? All four going to be done, and then they're going to keep them in the can? Like, how can you? When it takes you this long to make one, how can you guarantee the other three are going to be ready?
Right. Well, like John said it right. It better be good. It better be the greatest thing ever, because if the second movie is a fail, and that franchise could lose a lot of money because people won't have the patience for it. I don't think again, and it's an odd thing, and we've said this, and you know, the year Avatar wasn't it, or maybe it still is, I don't know, or it was overtaken, but it was the biggest grossing movie of all time at one point. Am I incorrect?
It still might be. It was like $2.64 billion that movie made. Right. Something crazy
I think it was, and I think it was because it was cutting-edge technology at the time, and it was beautiful, and it was gorgeous to see in the theater. And by the time you're talking, you know, another 3 years, it's not going to have that originality factor anymore. So I don't know, unless they come up with a great story to compel people to go see it, I don't think anybody's going to go back just to say, hey, look, I saw a bunch of blue world, you know, things again. The same thing. So
all I know is they better hope to goodness that, and I think they will do a good job. Hopefully, like, because I know there's a lot of people like Dennis that will just be pissed off at it, just to be pissed off at it because it makes you pissed off. That'll dig his heels in and refuse. But I'm hoping, I mean, they better hope to goodness that this land totally changes like somebody like Dennis's mind, where, okay, subliminally while you're there, you're going to be learning more and more about it. So when it finally comes out, because face it, we'll probably be there 10 times to Pandora before the movie even comes out. You know what I'm saying? So like, you might be so into the land that kind of like, if it, crazy as it sounded, was as horrible as the Haunted Mansion movie was with Eddie Murphy, I had to watch it because it was part of Disney. You know, the Pirates, the owner, and like, I'm still so proud of myself for not watching him just because the hate of him. But the point of it is the reason everybody wanted to see Pirates is because it was part of Disney World. So what they're might happen then is you might get so involved in Pandora, maybe you'll like it so much as they're adding stuff and all. By the time it comes out, it will pique your interest just because it's a part of the place that you love so much.
Yeah. I'll leave it open, but yeah. I don't think so. And the other thing that kind of, I don't know, it makes it strange is, okay, so if let's take it at face value that Avatar was the biggest grossing movie of all time. I guarantee you, if you line 100 people up and say, what's your favorite movie or, you know, or whatever, very few would even think of Avatar as one of them. So I don't get it that all those people saw the movie, and many people must have saw it multiple times too, but yet you never hear anybody really talking it up like, oh yeah, that was
it's kind of like nobody voted for this president, but he's our president. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like one of those things most people are embarrassed, they don't want to admit it, you know, or they don't want to get in the argument about it. It's kind of like, the easy answer is I love The Godfather, or I love, you know what I'm saying, Beauty and the Beast, or whatever. It's the common thing to do. It's kind of like when you're in high school. You said you like one thing, but you really like the other because you just want to be part of the cool kids. And I think that's a lot of it, what it's like. Does that make sense to you guys?
I guess. I don't get it, though. But anyway.
I mean, face it, being into blue people isn't the coolest thing to be into.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But now, Dennis, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Speaking of Avatar and Pandora, though, do you have the story about the some of the merchandise they're going to have available there, the dragon specifically?
I'm going to read a story right now about the plants and animals of Pandora. I don't know if it references that, but actually, it's very short. Go ahead, John. Can you speak to it or?
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Right.
All right, so over at everybody's favorite other park, Universal, if you've never seen the Harry Potter movies, but an important part of the first move is when Harry Potter gets his wand, and he goes into a wand shop, and wand picks him out and stuff. And so at Universal Studios, they've for several years now, ever since both lands have opened. They have a little shop. You go in and they take one kid. One kid gets picked out of the crowd to come up, and then it goes through about a 10-minute little presentation, and the wand ends up coming to him and stuff like that. And of course, you walk out of there, and you have the ability. The parents of that kid have the ability to buy that wand, and then everybody else can pick their own wand. Well, not to be outdone, Disney in Pandora, you're going to go into a little room, and a dragon is going to pick some little kid out, and then they're going to have a little show, and then at the end of that, you're going to go through to the gift shop, where you're going to have the ability to buy your own little banshee dragon. So, yeah, sounds vaguely familiar a little bit, but...
I believe Disney had the idea first. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Or the guy that thought of it over at Universal used to work for Disney, right?
Yes. There you go. They stole it somehow, Dan. I don't know how, but they did it.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, yeah, The Plants and Animals of Pandora, The World of Avatar. The next episode in the making of Pandora, The World of Avatar, gives a preview of the plants and animals that guests will discover in the new Animal Kingdom land. Yeah, you have to watch a video for this, but Joe Rohde and Zolt Horme, and you'll get a detailed look at the bioluminescence nightscape. And I think we saw artist renderings of that a while back when this first came out, but I guess they actually had some film of it so you can see it a little better.
Yeah, if you watch the, because I refuse to watch The View or any of that, but when they had the Disney deal down at The View, like I pulled, they had excerpts on YouTube in different areas. I found videos. And also on that 2020 deal or whatever, Good Morning America, whatever one it was, I forget, one of those ABC shows, they actually showed her going through, and they showed a lot of the lighting and stuff like that, which was really cool.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, so there's a couple of stories here, but I'll just say in general, Disney released a couple of videos, promo shots from inside of Pandora, and if you've been on YouTube, you've probably seen them, and if not, you can search them and check it out. Or if you want it to be totally new and unique, don't watch them and just, you know, when it opens, show up and discover all that will be the world of Avatar.
Nah. And then they have the other story, Dan, that basically I just read through it too, is there's a lot of, basically, to put the cliff notes in it, the Hollywood Studios, you could see the cranes up. There's behind the walls, you could see dumpsters and all kind of construction equipment. They're really working their hearts out now on both lands. There's a lot of construction going on. And, you know, when we listen to a guy saying, what takes so long? If you just look at this picture and see the chaos that's going on, you should be impressed that it's even all this work is done by 2019.
Yeah. I mean, as we always say with construction, most of the work happens underground, and you don't really see any progress, but there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to go in, and electrical and plumbing and all kinds of other utilities that need to go in. So a couple months can go by and you'd swear nothing's going on, but actually a lot's going on. And once you get above ground, that's when you start to see the, you know, the shell of the buildings go up and such, and you can actually see progress. But there's a whole lot that goes on that, you know, you don't really notice just looking at the area.
Yeah, like I said, I appreciate it. Like Pat and all, like Pat off the air from the Mickey dudes when they were going. Remember they were talking about, well, they built the whole park in a year, and now what takes so long? And all. And then when I said that when people are involved, it totally changes the whole atmosphere of the job site. Like, just right. You didn't have to build all these temporary walls when the park was being built. Yeah, there was no guests, there was no tour. But if you just look at the cranes and everything that's operating back there, and you wouldn't believe the hoops they got to jump through to be able to run this equipment and all the insurance and all the rules and regulations they have to go through to be able to even operate this stuff with people in the park.
Huge liability, and I'm sure they, you know, really go overboard on safety and, you know, making sure there's no chance that a guest can get access to the area or inadvertently get anywhere near a crane or within its, you know, reach, if you will.
Exactly. And the point of it is okay, you when just construction workers are there, they take safety measures, but it isn't the same as when you know, the outsiders are there, or, you know, pedestrians and stuff like that. Do you imagine, like, how some of those cranes go down in, like, in the winds in New York City? You've seen accidents. I'm sure you've had them in Boston. We've had cranes go over in Philly. We had one go over in Atlantic City. Do you see those monster cranes that were at the Animal Kingdom when they were doing those rocks?
Oh, yeah. You could see them from all across property.
Okay. Imagine how scary that would be during a storm. Like, they have to go through all these precautions to make sure – that crane tips over during construction, it's one thing. But if one of those go over, why, the Animal Kingdom is full of guests. You know, they're big cranes. They are going to reach the park. It's inevitable. Yep. So that's the point I'm making. Like, you got to go through all these extra precautionary safety features before you can even raise that crane. Does that make sense to you, John, Dan? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot bigger safety features than you have to make when just all the knuckleheads are there with their hard hats, because we all know how to squirm like cockroaches when we hear something. Like, if you're, you know, if you're in the parks listening to one of the songs going on, or the Tree of Life, or you're inside, you know, Tough to Be a Bug, and you're not hearing that crane starting to tip, or, you know, they got to make sure that everything's 100%. So my hat's off to Disney with all they do. With all the people around, I couldn't imagine it. It's hard enough to work on my job sites when there's nobody around.
Right, and you know, to kind of go full circle, and all those extra precautions, it takes time and adds time and, you know, layers of things that you need to do before you can actually start working, and therefore it takes, you know, longer than a regular construction job. Or like you said, you know, when the park was being built, it was easier because all they needed was one fence around the whole perimeter, and they're golden, and there's no guest in the area, and you can work a lot faster than you can working in a quote-unquote live theme park with guests everywhere.
Absolutely. Like, we just did the Starbucks. It took just as long to build the outside wall to protect us from working in there as it did to do the job, almost. And we did Michael Simon's restaurant. Like, when that before the inside of that restaurant could even be built, they had to put huge 14-15 foot temporary walls up. They had to be tape coated, finished, and have signs painted on them. You know, to say Leto's coming, Michael Simon, blah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. All that had to be done before the first screw was even turned inside the restaurant. And that's the same stuff here. Putting these temporary fences up, painting Goofy's head on it, is not done in 15 minutes.
Nope. You know? Right. I agree.
And it has to be put up so idiots like John don't try to climb them and knock them over and stuff, you know?
I can't imagine why I would want to do something like that.
but you know what I'm saying. It has to be sturdy enough, and they have to be put up right so little Johnny don't try to hop the fence.
Yep.
You know.
People will.
They will. You know, and it's not always little kids. There's always that idiot that – the two idiots that just had too many LaFin de Monts over at the Brown Derby are trying to play piggyback with each other to look over the fence to see what's going on.
Says the construction nut that would probably be doing it himself to try to get a look at what they're doing.
Exactly. I'm just saying what I know.
Exactly, right?
But I Let's didn't see. Need the LaFin de Mont to do it.
Yeah, let's see. I got another story here. That just a minor story, but the Maharaja Jungle Trek Tiger Exhibit, closed for refurbishment. The Maharaja Jungle Trek's Tiger Exhibit at Disney's Animal Kingdom is now closed for refurbishment. Expected to take place from April 17th through to May 5th, the tigers will not be visible to guests, and viewing areas will be closed. The remainder of the Maharaja Jungle Trek will be open as normal. So if you're down there right now or have been over the last couple of weeks, unfortunately the tigers were not available to be viewed. Maybe they're changing the enclosure. I don't know. But we'll have to see what it looks like when it reopens on May 5th.
Yeah, they're probably doing major cleaning and, you know, the whole nine yards and filling in all the holes they dug out. You know, they're probably human wrecking crew there, you know, so they have to keep up on that. But that would bum me out because last trip down, they were pretty active too when we were there, playing around and stuff like that. And that's one of my favorite things to do is when they're up. I mean, there's been quite a few times where they've been sleeping against the wall where they don't want to move.
Yeah, that's usually what they're doing when I go through.
Yeah, when we walked through a couple of weeks ago, that's exactly what they were doing. They were totally zonked out. Absolutely nothing.
So. Yeah, like I said, that's one of the advantages of going down in the wintertime. because it seems like they're a lot more active when it's, you know, when it's cold out, trying to keep themselves, because they are warm climate animals. Not all of them. You got your Siberian tigers, but the ones there, you know what I'm saying? They're a lot more active. All the animals are when it's cold out, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, when you go through and it's, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 in the afternoon and a hot, you know, summer day, it's what, 95, 98 degrees, humid. I mean, I don't blame him for laying down.
No,
I would be too.
Yeah. The
I'm
only
in
thing,
water, so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Every once in a while, you'll get to see them wrestling in the water or running through the water or doing something like that. Then that's pretty cool also, but it bums me out when anything's closed at the Animal Kingdom. I mean, it's, you got the, and speaking of that, is I still can't believe they're closing that Splash Mountain during the summer. There has to be something wrong with it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe something is either at critical mass or is in jeopardy of, you know, breaking, if you will, and they're trying to get a handle on it. Because you're right, to take it out during the summer high peak time is not something they generally do. But maybe there's something going on that they just have to get it offline to fix it.
Yeah,
I've got a fast pass for it in a couple of weeks, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, hopefully it don't break with you on it.
No, exactly.
We'll be saying, yeah, how do you do? Do-do-do-do-do.
Well, that'd be better than being stuck in a small world over and over and over and over. So.
No.
This is true. And that's all I have for news, Doug, unless you or John have something else.
I interrupted you rudely enough with all the articles I had.
That's okay. We worked them in.
You have anything else, Johnny?
I don't think so. I was going to ask, Dennis, have you ever heard of Trillium Brewing? They're supposed to be up there by you somewhere.
Sounds familiar, but I can't say that I've ever had one of their products. Why? What's the name?
Well, we've got a couple I'm doing over on the other show today, but they're by Trillium from, I think, New Hampshire, but in New England anyway. But it's funny because they're from where you're at, and one of the beers is called Congress Street, and I was thinking of Congress Park. So, you know.
I'll have to see if I can find where it is. Actually, technically, where I got that victory was in New Hampshire. I live right on the Massachusetts-New Hampshire line, and there's no sales tax in New Hampshire. So
illegally transporting alcohol across state lines. Dennis.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So technically, maybe if Trillium is a New Hampshire brewery, I'm sure that they have it, you know, where I shop. I just haven't looked for it. And it's called Congress. What, John?
Well, the IPA is called Congress Street. So Congress if you like IPA, yeah, give it a try.
Yeah,
so.
He's on a victory tour right now. That's all I'm saying. But anyway.
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of your other show, John, I didn't realize you were scuba certified. I learned that from listening to the last show.
Hey,
did you know that, Doug?
No, I didn't. He's a little fishy to me, so I kind of figured he was, but
he doesn't. Go ahead.
When I was a kid, my biggest dream in the entire world was to be a marine biologist. So I spent a lot of time at SeaWorld and the Living Seas growing up, and that was my goal in life. And so when I turned 16, I got my part-time job. I saved up my money. I got scuba certified within, I think, 3 months of turning 16. And then life and marriage and the Navy and everything else got in the way, so I never made it quite to be a marine biologist, but yeah, I'm still scuba certified from then. So.
Well, that's
pretty
cool.
Do you need to take like you don't need to recertify at all, or how does that work? Like you have your license for life, or?
Yeah, you have a license for life. If I was going to go on an open water dive out in the ocean or wreck dive or something, I would definitely take a refresher course just because it's been so long. But, I mean, in actuality, no mandatory thing that says you have to. It kind of seems kind of silly.
Well, all I know is I'm going to the coral reef now, and I want to see John swim by in the tank.
One of the part-time jobs that popped open at Disney a couple of weeks ago that I threw my resume in for was one of the Dive Quest operators. But it didn't quite work. So.
At least you keep trying, John. Don't give up on that dream. You should just try to become the head lifeguard at Blizzard Beach. I'm sure you could save some lives.
Yeah.
Yes. And then our last show, the one last thing I want to put in is we did that interview with our friend Tony over at the Garden Grocer. We really had a lot of fun with that. If you guys didn't listen to it, head over there and listen to it. You'll learn a lot of neat things that Dennis and John both learned some stuff, and I know I did myself on with all the delivery, how good the delivery is, how if you're at the parks, you don't have to worry about the food. It'll be waiting for you. Disney will keep it cool at the bell service area. And then John was saying the last trip he went down with his kids, it took him almost 2 hours to go get the food. It would have been worth it for him just to have it ordered for him.
Yeah. You know, Dennis, usually what we do is we go shopping here in town before we make our trip. But one year we went and it was a extended stay. I think we were there for 6 nights or something. And I thought, hey, you know what? The first day we were there, we'll check into the resort and I'll get my wife and my son put away and I'll run over to the Walmart that's close to Disney. And I did that. And as much as I spend time delivering here, driving around, I made the stupid decision and went to the Walmart Supercenter on 192, not 192, but out in Kissimmee instead of going to the Publix around the corner. And I ended up in traffic that took me 40 minutes to get there. It took me 50 minutes to do the shopping because I didn't know where anything was. And then it took me 45 minutes to an hour to get back. So it was the stupidest mistake I ever did. So that would have been a good $20-$25 spent to just order it off there. So
absolutely.
No, and that was the biggest thing. Like I said, me and Dennis were impressed with everything that, Tony said with all the fresh fruits, everything that they have. But the biggest thing that made me happy was knowing the fact that if you have a delivery and you're in the parks, you don't have to worry about always being there because Disney will hold your stuff for you. And that I didn't know. Did you, Den?
Yeah, I did know that. I did know they kept things refrigerated, and I made that point on the show. I mean, we didn't get into these specifics, but I don't believe that Disney in any way gets any of the proceeds from the shopping you might do. It's an independent company, but for them to do that is pretty awesome. Because, well, I get why they do it, because of course they want the guests to be happy. But I could see that they easily could say, look, you're not Disney, and you're lucky we even let you on property, and you're on your own. But the fact they do that is that's a good thing. It really is.
Absolutely. And, order your beer, your wine. If you're at the park, you want a delivery, they will do same day for an extra charge. But there's a day where you might want that wine and beer delivered to the hotel room or, something. Especially if you're staying in with you guys, then every once in a while you'll get a tour, one or two bedroom grand villa for your family. It would be nice to have the refrigerator stocked.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, he even mentioned cases of water and stuff like that. And, John, I have also done exactly what you described. And I just go to the Publix that's right out the main gate there. And I found that's
my go-to place.
Yeah, to get on and off property and get back in a reasonable time manner. But, I've rented a car for a day just to go and do the shopping and all that. And by the time you pay for the rental and, spend time getting over to the car care center and all that, when it's all said and done, Garden Grocer would be, even if it was a break-even proposition, you don't have to waste your time, which, again, time is money when you're at Disney. So, I would definitely opt for that as opposed to renting a car.
Yeah, and like me and Doug were talking about, none of us are in this situation, but imagine you have two kids in diapers and you're flying down and you don't – you get them from Garden Grocer, you don't have to worry about packing all those diapers and all that formula. Heck, that would be worth it just by itself,
If you're flying to the parks, it's a no-brainer in my opinion if you have kids for the stuff that you need. I mean, if you need any kind of infant stuff, like I said – it's worth every penny.
Right. And just think about this, just the bottled water alone. I mean, 20 cents a bottle versus what, $2.50, $3 a pop. I mean, if you're going to be there for a week and you ought to, even if you just got 4 cases of water to stick in your room, and even if you didn't have a villa or a 2 or 3 bedroom unit, hey, get a cooler. So, well, buy a cheap styrofoam cooler. Ice is free at the resorts. Mm-hmm. Fill it up every day. Just the money you would save on water alone is worth the cost to get the Garden Grocer, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because you go down and, I don't mind that. Even with me driving down, I don't take alcohol. I don't drive. And even though they're closed containers, it's a full 12-pack. I don't take alcohol down there with me. I just feel funny driving that far with alcohol in the car. Does that make sense to you guys?
No, I deliver wine.
No,
so.
No but, yeah. But just to me, what we'll do is me and Brenda will usually run out when we get there. We'll bring everything else because I'm driving down. I will bring the water and the whole 9 yards down with me from home. But the alcohol, for some reason, I don't like putting a couple bottles of wine and all that in the car and driving down. You get pulled. I just don't want to deal with the dealing with it. So we usually do run the Publix when we get there, because you know what it costs to buy the stuff in the Fulton's. What's the name of the Fulton store? The general store in Riverside. River Roost. Fulton's. Okay, Fulton's next. Yeah. Fulton's next to the River Roost. But yeah, my point is, you go in there, you know how expensive wine and beer is in there. One bottle of beer is like, what, $6?
Well, I can tell you exactly. when I drink wine, I drink Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, and I can get it for $9.99 here and almost anywhere else. And they do have it in Fulton's, and I believe it's $21 or $22 for the same bottle.
Exactly.
Same exact wine.
Well, you guys know what the Foster's cans look like, right? The big oil cans.
From Australia?
Well, it's made in the United States, but it's supposed to be Australia.
Okay.
But anyway, you can buy those at Publix for $2.50, $2.75 a can, and they are $9.75 at Walt Disney World. So anywhere, you know, at any of the gift shops or anything like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, heck, if you just do that, you know.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. For me and Brian, it would be worth it for me to call and order and just get the alcohol delivered right to – I'm not taking the run to Publix. So that's basically what we're going there for, put alcohol in the fridge. Because I like to have a 12-pack during the week, to have a beer at night while I'm waiting for her. I'll go out on my balcony there and just overlook Riverside, or you know what I'm saying, while she's getting ready or napping or something. Or at night after we get back, we might want that nightcap together and not walk down the River Roost. We like to go sit out on one of the benches or something. So we like to have the alcohol in the room.
It's a great way to – I'm sorry, Dennis.
Go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say it's a great way to save money at the pool too. You know, you got your cans of beer you take down there instead of buying a draft every time you head down. So save a lot of money that way too. So
I was going to say, Doug, if I was driving down, I probably wouldn't take the alcohol. But for me, it wouldn't be because I was worried about getting pulled over or anything. But you don't want your wine or your beer, especially if you have a pickup truck and you're keeping it outside the cabin or a car in the trunk. It's going to get hot as heck. And, it ain't good for the wine. And it probably doesn't do the beer any good either, being that warm. If you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Exactly. I just don't want to deal with it all. Is my point. It just takes up the other thing. It takes up space in the trunk. You know what I mean? That you could use for something else. And I just would rather just get it when I get there. It just seems fresh to me. And the other thing is, there's times where I might not. You don't know what you're in the mood for until that day. Like I talk about with beer guests. I don't want to. You know, maybe that week I'm in the mood to try something different. You know. So if I get on his website, I might order a couple different things that I normally wouldn't. So, but anyway, Garden Grocer is a great company. Head over, check their website out, and I think you guys will be very happy with it. I mean, we were surprised by a lot of it, and Tony and the staff do a great job over there. They really do. They try to give the Disney difference themselves. So, John, you want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah. Check me out on my secondary, not primary podcast, my secondary podcast over there at the Weekly Pint. We'll be talking about a Trillium Beers IPA and a double IPA. And then look me up on Facebook, John Peters. Send me a friend request. I'm happy to accept any of those. And on the Twitter machine, I'm at Beer Solo, and I put up a daily Disney pick of the day. Although I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel right now, but I usually put up some silly picture of me with some characters or some famous landmark that we all love from somewhere at Disney. So
for some strange reason, I still think you have like 20 years of pictures there, John. You'll find plenty.
I probably do. Yeah.
So where can we find you, Dan?
Yeah, over at Oak Manor on Twitter, OAKMANNER, and at Facebook, Dennis Conroy, and you can find me on the WDW Main Street website as well.
And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. And everybody have a safe, great week. Please, guys, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. And we will talk to you all real soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
Bye.
Pleased to meet you. Fine, how are you? Nice seeing you. How you come on? How to do? Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. How do you do? Not a pleasant. come down. A penny lost is a penny found. How do you do? And you have it back. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. How do you do?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good to see you.
How you come on?
Howdy!
Pretty good show as you're born. Stop jumping around, you're running out of breath. Why don't you sit back and calm yourself? You can carry on now if you must. Wonder what we like, cause that suits us. How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. Pretty good show as you're born. Pretty good show as you're born. I'm looking for a little more adventure. He's heading for a little bit of fun now. I'm hoping for a little more excitement. Time to be moving along. It's time to be moving along. The weather is good, the fishing is fine. Now what do you do with all of your time? Oh, a zigs and a zags, a twos and a froze. That's what you ask me, and that's what you know. Time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. He's looking for a little more adventure. I'm heading for a little bit of fun now. He's hoping for a little more excitement. Time to be moving along. It's time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Hey, Br'er Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid as always. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Careful, Br'er Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid as always. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Time to be turning around.
Upside down and soon you'll find your hair to stay.
today. My, oh my, born and bred in the Briar Patch, and I'm here to stay. I'm through with moving on now. It's where I'm born and bred in. The Briar Patch is where I'm heading. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. I'm back in my homeland, I'm sure gonna stay. I told you, Br'er Rabbit, there ain't no place fine if you run from trouble. Home sweet home is the lesson today. Don't you worry, Mr. Bluebird, I learned my lesson. The Briar Patch is where you were born, and the Briar Patch is where you're gonna stay. One of these days, I gotta thank Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear for flinging me back home to my Briar Patch.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear are gonna get it today. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Bad hungry gators get in his way. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactory. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Welcoming back Br'er Rabbit today. We always knew that he went away. He's had enough of moving on now. It's where he's born and bred in. The Briar Patch is where he's at. Zippity-doo-dah.